They're actually from one of the Star Wars ones.
Where yeah, it was not. It was not from one of the Fast and Furious ones. I remember yeah. that much.
But yeah, Josh just goes, I really want there to be a song in Fast and Furious that's just like, here comes Vin, around the corner. Yeah. He loves his family.
No, it was from RRR, because we were that's talking right. about how like the songs in that movie were like...
Yeah, that's what it was.
Explaining what was going on.
Oh, yeah. Two friends who are best of buddies, but their futures are entwined in violence. What will happen? Keep watching the movie to find out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the first JoJo theme song. Just very on the nose.
I mean, yeah, but it, as long as the song is good, yeah. I don't mind it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, the music's got to be slapping. But as long as that happens, then
I'm fine with it. I like the way that you sing it, because it makes it sound like it was going to be a country song, like sung on a banjo.
I'm just the podcast host guy. I'm not the great at improvising new tunes guy.
We don't have that guy yet.
That's true. He's not one of our guys. We've got the... host guy, the funny guy, the cranky guy, and the wrong opinions guy.
The correct opinions
what
guy.
What did Caleb say about joining the thing?
Today?
Yeah. Has he said anything?
He said, yeah, guys, that sounds good. And then a couple days later, he said, actually, fuck that. I'm going to the Ren Faire. And so tonight, he's at the Ren Faire.
No, I meant the, like, joining the...
Oh, yeah, he joined. Okay. Yeah. So.
It's all four of us.
Yep. You know, if there were more of us, maybe we could form a whole new squad that would podcast across the galaxy. Hi, I'm Josh. I'm an analyst here in Nashville. And I'm a character that would be a lot of fun in the movie, but I'm just sick most of the time.
I'm Rick Fox. I am an author here in Nashville, and I am really, really desperate to save my best friend slash pet.
I don't know about that last
bit. Yeah. I'm Brian. I'm an illustrator here in Nashville, and dancing is for idiots.
And we're opinionated. And tonight we're doing a first impressions of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 came out in 2023. Currently has an 81% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was written and directed by James Gunn. And it has a star-studded cast including Chris Pratt, Chukwudi Iwuji, Bradley Cooper, Dave Bautista, Karen Gillan, and many, many others.
Still reeling from the loss of Gamora, Peter Quill rallies his team to defend the universe and one of their own, a mission that could mean the end of the Guardians.
So just a reminder to those who are new to the First Impressions episodes, we typically like to do the first, you know, 10 to 15 minutes of the episode spoiler-free. That way, if you're interested in going to see the movie, but you still want to hear what we think and whether we recommend it, you can do that without worrying about it. There's going to be a brief break in the episode, and then we'll get back into our fully spoiler-filled thoughts, but we're going to warn you before we get there, so don't worry about it. I like the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. I liked one a lot more than two. There were fun parts of two, but I thought the story in two was pretty dumb.
I would kind of agree with that.
It's carried a lot by the character of the movie. Like it's fun, it's colorful, it's funny, it's a little irreverent in more ways than the rest of the MCU typically is.
Give me a quick synopsis of two, because a lot of the Marvel movies bleed together.
Ego the planet. Ego the planet.
Yeah.
Guy.
Kurt Russell.
Has his, like, human form.
Yeah.
And he goes around the universe impregnating people.
Tried to make a second Ego
the planet. He can make a second Ego the planet so that he can take over the world.
Universe.
The universe, whatever. And Chris Pratt is that baby, but then... Ego doesn't understand the power of family, and Chris Pratt does.
Right.
And so Chris Pratt and his found family have to stop Ego.
As it turns out, Chris Pratt was not happy with the idea that, like, Ego killed his mom to, like, you know, create his spawn.
And Kurt Russell said it like it would be this endearing thing. Like, oh, yeah, I killed your mom so that we could be together.
Well, he thought after, like, they played catch, they would be at that point to where he could be honest with him and he'd understand because he's just a little Ego.
It's a real, like, misery kind of situation. Like, yeah, I broke your ankles so that we could be together and you could write
for
me.
How do you not get this?
And the moral of the story is keep secrets from your family that will destroy your family, right? That's how it works out.
The story's pretty dumb, but as with the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, you know, I came into 3 expecting a lot of the same, like, there's going to be, you know, some irreverent humor. It's going to be colorful and goofy. Mm-hmm. It's going to feel like a PG-13 Deadpool movie almost.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's kind of the expectation I had going into it. I didn't really know anything about the plot, which is different from the last couple times. They don't give a ton away in the trailers, but in this one, I genuinely didn't know. Like, a lot of the characters, and they're starting to go deep into the well of Marvel characters beyond just everybody knows these people.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of Guardians of the Galaxy like from the beginning.
I could have pointed out fucking Rocket Raccoon and Star-Lord. That's it.
Right.
And even those two were like not well-known characters.
True. So I don't know. I was expecting a fun time, and I feel like I got a fun time.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I like this one better than I liked 2. I think that it does a better job of selling things in general. I think that the biggest issues with this movie are that it doesn't feel like it should be the conclusion of a trilogy for a lot of different parts of it.
Yeah.
So when they get to the parts that are dealing with the fact that, like, some of these actors probably aren't coming back, or at least aren't coming back soon, and like, oh, the Guardians are, you know, kind of breaking up, but they're kind of not, and it's, you know, all that kind of stuff. When it gets to those sections of it, I feel like it doesn't gel well with the rest of the movie.
Correct.
But other than that, like, that's a minor nitpick, honestly, because I think both of those pieces work separately. You just have to be aware of the outside of forces of, like, yeah, they're just not under contract to make more of these, and James Gunn is going to go run the DCU, and so it doesn't gel as well as I would want it to, but other than that, I think it works very well.
And I think a part of that is, given that this is supposed to be like the end of the trilogy, and these characters are, you know, the band's breaking up almost, you're going to have a lot of what should be very touching emotional moments in a movie like that. Mm-hmm. And although they do have, there are several emotional moments in the movie, it's also like full of characters who have, like, he's got a track record of 2 previous movies where characters get into very like serious emotional moments, and then it's punctuated with a funny joke.
Yeah.
And so,
like you do,
and it's funny in those movies, but that means that when you get to this third one, where you also have some scenes like that in this movie,
you're expecting it every
time. When you get to the touching scenes that are supposed to just be touching, like, you can appreciate them, but you also kind of have this sense of waiting for the funny shoe to drop.
Yeah, yeah.
And it takes a little bit of the wind out of the sails for those moments.
I'd agree with that. I think that the other issue for me is that, so they're treating characters like Mantis as like as though she had been there from the very beginning of this thing. They've got the guy from that took over Yondu's place of like having the little whistle like arrow thing as, you know, as a big deal, you know, at least in terms of how much screen time he gets. And you've also got like this version of Gamora, who isn't actually the Gamora that we've known for the previous 2 movies, because she is the like resurrected version of Gamora who was like
part of the trailer.
Yeah,
like, Gamora's like, back, but she's like old Gamora.
I mean,
prior
we knew that from,
to
like,
teaming up with.
Yeah, that was part of the Infinity Wars movies.
Did she come back in that movie? Because I had no I did not remember her coming back.
Because she just basically wanted to piss off the whole time.
Exactly. She's just mean. She's mean Gamora because she hasn't gone through her character development yet.
Well, in this movie, I'm saying that I don't remember when she got back.
Yeah, it was at the end.
I came into this movie being like, oh, I guess they did that off screen.
I'm pretty sure they did it like with the snap. It was either that or they pulled her back from a different timeline. Like, it's one of the two.
But I thought, like, she didn't get snapped. She got sacrificed to create one of the stones.
Which is why she comes back different from other people. Like, she comes back in a different way than like, Peter, who just, like, has all his memories up to that point. She came back as Gamora of a different, like, time before she left Thanos or whatever.
I thought that they just went into the other universe and grabbed her.
And this is kind of the big problem of this movie, is that it feels like all Marvel movies at this point, it feels like there's so much history that I need to remember to get all the details of this, but they're so expansive and so many different characters that I'm just like, I don't want to try and
there
keep up with this anymore.
There was a new character in this one, and I was like, did we meet them?
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
And he was foreshadowed, if he's who I'm thinking of, but we did not meet him. But yeah, like in general, the MCU has just got a lot of weight that it needs to just drop at some point.
It does. And I don't know how you hit that like reset button on the MCU.
Yeah.
Without it just being like, okay, all the previous stories happened in a different universe, and now we're in a different, separate universe.
That's how you do
how
it.
They did Gang Ultimate was just like a big black sky bomb thing where all the Avengers like held hands and like, is this the end of us? But then some of them got to survive because they were doing still pulling numbers.
Right, Miles Morales got to live. Yeah,
that just feels like the Snap again, though.
I mean, it kind of does.
Effectively, the Snap, but you know,
I think.
Wait, listen. Another thing that I liked about Galaxy 3, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, is I think it had the strongest villain of any of the three Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
I'd put him at least in the top 10.
What was the villain of 2 was Ego.
Yeah.
The villain of one was Ronan.
Yeah, who no one gives a shit about.
Exactly.
Yeah. That movie was really more about like getting the band together. Like it really
also
wasn't about the villain.
I feel like that was one of the early like we're starting to reveal the Infinity Stones in these movies now.
Yes,
movies.
That's right.
I forget his name.
High Evolutionary
in this movie is one of the best Marvel villains because of the performance.
He commits like the cardinal sin of anything ever. Like if you want people to not want like someone, this is what you do is what he
does. Yes, yeah.
Right. That being said, like the number of atrocities compared to some of the other atrocity having guys in the MCU, he's not necessarily like the worst villain.
No, but I'm sure Ronan was like blowing up planets
shit. No, this guy did like create civilizations. Well, I feel like we shouldn't. If you know who the High Evolutionary is,
I
knew who that was, but that's because I'm a giant nerd.
Because you play a fucking card game about it.
I mean, I didn't know it because of that, but I was happy to see him in that. Anyway.
Listen, he does a lot of monstrous shit. Yes. But that being the case, that's not the reason I think he's one of the best MCU villains. It's because of the performance and because of the way that James Gunn does a really good job of framing the things that he's doing specifically in relation to our main characters.
He doesn't just
horrible things. Back of Ronan, he's like, oh man, he's out destroying civilizations, and like everybody knows that's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have
like the emotional tie-in to a lot of our main characters.
We don't spend a lot of time like on one of those civilizations, like hanging out with the people of it, like really getting to know them, to see them as people before Ronan steps in and just murders everyone.
He's also been neglected by Daggy Thanos and just wishes he was respected.
Yeah. As we all do.
You know? Gamora, I'm basically you, except that I also like killing. Like. Entire worlds of people.
Except I didn't have like a cool friend arc where people showed me the error of my ways and stuff.
Right.
I don't have a found family, Gamora.
One thing I will say though, of the three movies, I think this one has the worst soundtrack. Like,
agreed.
That's my biggest gripe is that the first one,
banger.
It got known for being the Marvel movie with the banger soundtrack. So then 2 and 3 are like, we just have to make every scene have a meaningful song, and then it's not meaningful anymore.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that at this point they just had like drawn too much from the well and hadn't like just couldn't get the right songs for the right moments at that point.
The other thing that I think would have worked well, maintaining that same use of music but using it in a new way, like. It's a thing in the movie where you see it go kind of between Star-Lord using his iPod and Rocket using the iPod. And I think it would have been interesting to see them kind of go back and forth over who's got the aux cord, essentially.
Yeah.
And which one, like, still, you can have it be like retro music and that's fine, but they should have different tastes and enjoy different things. And it should, like, and that could be a running, because it feels like we did it again because that's the thing that Guardians of the Galaxy movies do, as opposed to having, and I'm sure James Gunn had a lot of intentional thought about the songs he chose.
Yeah, for sure.
It just didn't come across as well in this movies as it did previous ones.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I want to start talking about the stuff that happens.
I do too.
So I'm just going to say that I recommend this movie. It's a lot of fun. It's not perfect. There's issues that I had with the movie, especially some like there's a few big plot issues that I had with the movie as well. But if you enjoyed, especially the first one, I think it's better than the second Guardians movie.
Yeah,
so if you enjoyed
the
last
consensus.
Two, like, go see it. It's a fun movie. And the stuff that's fun on a big screen, like having all the big fights and everything like that, like it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
Go see it.
I also definitely recommend seeing it. I think that, honestly, this is the best Marvel movie that's come out in a while. Like,
it's the only one I've cared about enough to see in a while. Like,
well, I mean, even the ones that we've
done. I think
done.
I've missed two Ant-Man movies.
Sure.
But even the ones we've done, this is better than Multiverse Multiverse of Madness. This is better than Wakanda Forever. This is, I would say, in some ways, better than No Way Home. Like, this is a really good movie.
I liked No Way Home and Wakanda. I liked both of those movies.
No, I liked both of those movies. This is better than those movies. I came out of Wakanda Forever like, okay, that was fine. This, I genuinely was like, I enjoyed that. That was really fun.
I will say that they feel like very different styles of movies.
Yes.
Wakanda Forever felt like this is a Marvel movie, and Guardians of the Galaxy 3 felt like this is another one of James Gunn's movies.
And that's exactly why I think it works so well in the context of Marvel seeming to get so samey lately. Mm-hmm. This really does stand out, and I think that's why a lot of people will enjoy it and why I recommend they go see it. Brian.
Do you think this movie was written as the... Do you think the story was written with the concept of it being the end of a trilogy, or do you think it was written as a movie and it also was the end of a trilogy?
It's really hard to say. I mean, like, I know that they have to be juggling so many moving parts all throughout the creation of this, like the process of that. I would guess that he has probably written several versions of this movie where it can serve several different purposes as needed.
My guess would be that James Gunn intended it for like the end of the trilogy, mm-hmm. and whether due to his own, like, I know this is how it's going to be, or Marvel stepping in and saying like, hey, you have to leave it a certain amount open-ended so that we can continue other stories off. Like, you know, when we want to do the Disney Plus Groot series, exactly. You have to leave it open enough that we can do that.
I pretty much what everyone else said. Better than the second one, almost as good as the first one, but not quite hitting with the soundtrack, and the soundtrack is a big part for me in these. So, but I would definitely recommend seeing this movie. But, well, no, that's not a fucking spoil. Fucking... They did the thing again. They did the, like, you're the real heroes for coming and seeing the movie as it should be and telling the
movie. That wasn't in my theater.
That wasn't in mine, yeah.
You son of a bitch.
where did you see it?
I think it was NGL. I think that was the name of the theater.
I don't know. Okay,
but fucking, like, just be honest. Like, you guys are really helping us by coming to see them. Don't be like, we're going to suck your dick for coming. You're the real not dick suckers here. You're not making us millions of dollars that we need.
Yeah,
thanks for not watching this in the comfort of your home and giving us less money.
I would also have had a bad taste in my mouth had that played before the movie.
It was fun. It's just, it's not nearly as bad as the D&D one.
What if it was instead? It was the same. They were still doing it for the Guardians of the Galaxy, but it was the cast of the D&D movie that came out to
do it. That would be really fun.
Like, that cast got hired to do all the movies this summer for the theater.
You're the real heroes for coming to see Barbie.
Thank you for coming to see The Pope's Exorcist.
Like, it just feels like when Homelander and the crew was forced to be like Goody Two Shoes on camera. Like, no, I fucking get what's going on here, you guys. We're not heroes. Like, this isn't you guys singing like, and we are all like a big circle of friends again because everyone got COVID.
yeah, exactly.
But it's a fun ass movie.
Okay. I feel like that would have been better if they were all in character.
I can't believe it wasn't on in y'all's theaters. That
no,
that
thank goodness
me.
That it was.
Yeah, I wish they had just realized like, hey, this is not going over well for us.
This is not a good look.
We're gonna come back in just a minute with our spoiler filled thoughts. Before we do, if you enjoy the podcast and want to help support us, find us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/opinionated. For as little as a buck a month, you can get all sorts of bonus content, some exclusive episodes there, some listener requests, even some additional first impressions. We also give early access to all of our episodes. As soon as something's edited, it goes up on the Patreon. Check that out. Again, it's patreon.com/opinionated. We've also launched our Discord. If you want to join us on Discord, sharing memes, asking us about podcasts, giving us suggestions. Sometimes we do polls there about what movie we should watch. Check that out. The Discord link is going to be in the description of this episode, as well as in our Twitter bio. Guys, we'll be back in just a minute to give our spoiler-filled thoughts on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
We were gone for quite a while. But no matter what happens next, the galaxy still needs its guardians.
Hello, we come in peace. Come on, Drax. Seriously, dude?
So Rocket Raccoon's backstory is real sad.
All right, hold on. So okay, we're back. Let me tell you what. If there is, like, the worst possible movie in the world to take my wife to see.
I was thinking about
my
that.
My wife, the animal lover. wife, the wargs in Lord of the Rings are cute widow puppies because they got four paws, and apparently that's the low bar that she has for whether something's a cute animal or not.
Is it fur and animal-shaped?
Oh, my gosh. The amount of CG animals that were mistreated, abused, and killed in this movie was astronomical. And when I say that, like, it wasn't just that. Like, she almost got teary-eyed when they told Cosmo that Cosmo was a bad dog. She's like,
why would they say that to Cosmo? You're not a bad dog, you're a good dog.
Josh, tell him that he's a bad man for saying that.
And then I said, no, it looks like a bad dog. And I got and I got smacked, and it was worth it, and it was funny. But oh my gosh, the High Evolutionary tortures so many animals in this movie, and it's like the cheat code for making people hate your villain.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still so effective.
It's
not even just that, like, he tortures them. You take Rocket, a character we have already got empathy for and have, like, we love this character, and you make us have the asshole of the group and make us all see why he's kind of a standoffish asshole and, like, where that all comes from, and when he was an adorable baby that had horrifying surgery done and was left in a cage, and the first words he said were, "It hurts." Good God, man. Like,
and then you really got to drive the thumb screws in tighter, because later on he's like, "Oh, baby Rocket did okay, Daddy. We can go outsides now, Daddy."
Yeah,
and the High Evolutionary is like,
no,
fuck you, Rocket. You get kicked back into your cell.
Look at
you're
you,
not
you're
worthy.
Monster.
You're a trash being.
It wouldn't even be that bad. Like, it'd be one thing if he did that in that scene, but in that scene, he's kind of nice to Rocket for a while. So
oh,
it feels
Rocket,
like there's some hope
you
there.
Stupid, ignorant little child.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not worth the utopia.
Even though you're smarter than me. And, like,
even though you're the one that, like, had the math brain smart enough to figure it out?
Yeah, but he doesn't want a really smart thing in a grotesque body. He wants the perfect being, which is apparently a shiggy animal person.
Yeah, it's a fursona is what he wants. No,
yeah.
What he wants is to be the smartest perfect being and, like, to, like, himself get all the glory for that. I think the thing that he's really furious about is that his creation outsmarted him, and the only way that he can deal with that is to say that, like, no, I need your brain so that my thing's gonna have original thought.
I feel like if he himself wanted to be, like, he was definitely jealous of the fact that his creation was smarter than him, but I feel like he would have put more, because he didn't really seem like he wanted to put effort into himself when he was, like,
well, he wants to believe
that powers and stuff.
He wants to believe he's already a god.
Oh, okay.
He sees himself as the,
he,
like,
calls himself God multiple times.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Which is, it's weird that he has a second in command who's constantly referring to, like, oh my god, and the dude's just like, why are you not talking about me
right now? Yeah.
No, it was really cool having a villain that was so nefarious, and I need to look up the actor's name again because I'm sure I'll butcher it. But Chukwudi Iwuji, like, just did such a fantastic job in it. He played it very emotionally, and I really enjoyed it. I really liked how, you know, he. Like, the moments where he felt endearing to Rocket, it was like, oh, okay, like, I know you're the bad guy, but, like, just his portrayal worked really well.
It did, yeah. Like, and that really sold it all the more when he turned around and was just a complete monster, like, for no reason.
I kind of thought he was going to have one of those turns, because, like, when he was walking with his two little underlings and, like, the other two are like, isn't there some other reason you want him back? It's like, oh, he's actually, like, attached to this one. He's like, this one has his son's DNA or some shit.
Right. I'm glad they didn't go there.
Yeah, I'm glad too.
Like, it would not have worked as well. It's nice to have
a villain that is just a fucking monster.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, like, he is directly tied to one of my, like, plot gripes with the movie.
Okay.
Because we're skipping all over the place.
Sure.
But at the end, when they finally fought through, like, the thousands and thousands of creations that he has sent
the
to
hell, like, nightmare monsters.
Yeah, the nightmare monsters hell and spawns. Whatever. And sure, the hell spawns. And they get to him, and, like, Rocket is there ready to kill the High Evolutionary.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you doing, Rocket? Why aren't you murdering him? And he's like, no, I don't murder him. I'm a guardian
of
the galaxy.
The fucking galaxy.
That really
I haven't. Sold. Don't think about the, like, 3,000 people I murdered on the way to get to this room within the past hour. It's just like, of all the people that you have killed in all these movies, and it's been a shit ton.
Yeah.
Like, this person is the one that you, Rocket, have the most, like, stake in wanting to get your, like, yeah. you can't go directly from, like, 5 minutes earlier showing him, like, at the pearly gates saying hello to his little animal buddies.
His little animal buddies, who, even though in heaven, are still monstrosities.
Correct. That's hilarious to me.
Like, he altered their souls to make them monsters.
Correct. You cannot go from the pearly gates where you're about to reunite with the people who this asshole murdered.
Yeah.
To being like, no, we're better than them. Yeah. We don't murder our enemies.
I was
enemies.
Sure that scene was a fucking joke. Like, I was waiting for the one.
Oh, turn around and be like, just kidding with you.
I was sure it was going to be like one, two, three, and then one of the other ones would just shoot him in the
head. Like Drax would just shoot him in the dick and be like, all right, we're done.
Let's yeah, you're, no, it should have been Gamora. She's like, I'm not a Guardian of the Galaxy.
That would have been hilarious.
Exactly.
No, the way that you needed to handle that is to have Rocket go like, no, I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to let him live with the knowledge that the thing that he created beat him.
That is also a cop-out.
It is.
Just murder the man.
But at least it's a thing that you can say is like, this fucking, is worse for him.
It's
like,
always the hero's job to make the worst possible decision for like planets worth of people's
but
death.
This is,
they're bigger than them.
But this is the irreverent Marvel movie. Like, this is the one where you can go in and you can, like, this is the movie where you can drop Marvel's first fuck bomb.
Yeah.
Like, this is the first fuck in a Marvel movie. And you're going to have that. And at the end, you're going to have your heroes be too good to kill the main villain that's put years and years of emotional trauma onto your character.
The literal Nazi scientist. You can't, like, just have him murdered.
He's the eugenics boy.
Yeah.
You kill the eugenics boy.
It didn't even look like he was, like,
it's a terrible superhero name.
It didn't even seem like he was going to like change at the end where like
it was just like, fuck you for beating me, I'm still your god.
Yeah, exactly.
If only there was some other couple of characters here that might want him dead that could have killed him.
yeah for
like,
sure,
someone that they like teased like movies and movies ago but doesn't really have an important part in this movie.
Adam Warlock.
Who
I wish, because it wasn't until after watching the movie and going and like,
and realizing that weird kid from
and
that
reading
movie
more,
with Jennifer Aniston.
It is.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
It is. Yeah.
The
RV movie.
Yeah, the RV movie where they're transporting drugs.
It's that
drugs.
Meme where he's like, I'm only getting paid $300 a day. You're getting paid every day?
Holy shit.
Oh, you guys are getting paid? Like, it's that kid.
It looks like his face is just deep faked onto a hot body. Like, every time I, like...
No, it wasn't until later when I was looking up who the character Adam Warlock is, because it's a character I'd never heard of before.
Sure, yeah.
I didn't know much about. And so, like, in reading that biography, it's, oh, he acts kind of like a dumbass because he was pulled out of his cryopod or whatever
too early,
which they talk about in the movie.
Yeah.
But what they don't really talk about is, because they do that, despite having, like, Adonis body, he has the brain of, like, a six-year-old or something
right? Yeah.
And they don't really cover that part of it. They just say that he's incomplete.
Yeah.
But they don't explain, like, oh, that's why he kind of acts like a dumbass throughout the movie. And so I just thought he was a weird and kind of lame character.
I feel like the mom kind of gave a line that was like, I can't remember what the line was.
She
but something
said, oh, hi, evolutionary. You pulled him out. He's incomplete. And that was about the gist of it.
Yeah. Like, that was most of it. Yeah. It would have been, I would have liked... So, okay, my issue with it is not necessarily that.
He also would have been a perfect character to come in and just, hey, you killed my mom, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, well, because the whole time, he's like, there's a solid fourth of that movie where he's passed out or something, where you're thinking like, oh, he's going to show up and like fight the High Evolutionary or team up with them or something.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's there for that like that last ending moment of like Groot saved him when he didn't have to, and now he's going to save Quinn.
Star-Lord.
Yeah, I just thought maybe he'd use his special big boy powers.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't love that, like, the movie opens establishing him as an incredible badass.
He's incredibly powerful, right?
Yeah, he's basically Superman's the entire team and takes out almost all of them and only barely, like,
kinda,
gets beaten by being a dumbass.
Because he does do Superman stuff, but also I feel like Superman wouldn't have got just, like, Drax tossed either.
I mean, you know, I don't disagree, but at the same time, like, he does beat the shit out of Drax, and, like, I feel like he was going to kill him there. There's a lot of those moments where it felt like, okay, they're trying to sell this as real serious, real bad shit's happening, and then it's like, oh, okay, he's fine. It's cool.
Well, because they introduced Megpatch that can just fix everyone that doesn't have a unique virus in their
chest. Have a kill switch in their heart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I like and don't like. I like that in the sense of like you can have Mantis get her arm like horribly snapped and not have to deal with that for the rest of the movie. Like there's advantages and disadvantages to that, but like I
think just some characters should have that, like fucking I like how much they focused on robot chicks being a robot chick.
Nebula?
Yeah, like her getting broken and just instantly fixing her. Like people need roles in the party to feel important, and I don't feel like Drax has his other than just being stupid.
Yeah, he's
which is on, it's kind of like a minor plot point in the movie as
there's,
well.
There's too many big guys now. Like he was the big guy, and now like he wasn't big enough to like take on Thanos, but he's also and he's not big enough to like one on one Adam Warlock, but he's also like too big to not. He doesn't really have anything else besides being a big strong guy.
Yeah, especially he needs to because, be like effectively indestructible, but just not strong enough to use anything.
You know what his problem is? He's exactly like the Thing. The Thing exists to get his ass kicked by other people to show how badass it is.
Well, and also because now it used to be that Groot was like the weirdo plant guy.
Yeah.
But he's
now,
the tank.
But now Groot is like, I am beefcake now. And also weapons cache.
Yeah,
he just
exactly.
Like opens up his chest and he's got guns
for days. He feels like a Borderlands character.
He does.
I wish. I like his new body shape. I don't like his new body, his head shape. I wish he had original.
I really
shape.
Like it because I feel like. In the first Guardians of the Galaxy, he felt very much like an old man. He talked like an
That's
old man.
Fair.
Yeah.
His bark was withered like an old tree.
Yeah.
And then he blew up and became a little baby Groot. Yeah. And became and th- like whether
the
it was part of the movie
fun.
Or part of like
he's a tree
the post credit scenes.
Yeah.
Like they've shown him growing and being different ages.
Yeah.
And also likening that to different ages of tree essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I like that this is essentially like, hey, he's a strong tree in his 30s, I guess.
Family.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah.
20s, I think. But yeah, no, sure. I think this is honestly my favorite of the designs of Groot. Like he just, I really like beefy Groot. That's something about that is just really funny.
I like beefy body Groot. I don't like that
his
head is, no, it's, well, kind of that, his head is just baby Groot scaled up.
Yeah.
And it, I want it to be more unique, like each phase to be its own. Because in the post-credit scene, it's very unique again.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish that this Groot had like a beard made of lichen or moss or something like that.
Fucking, top bun or whatever those
no,
are.
No.
Like he's going through his like bohemian phase.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of cool fights in the movie, and talking about Groot makes me think of them because a lot of the cool fights incorporate Groot.
Yes, because Groot just has so many options that most characters don't, and James Gunn really takes advantage of that.
And I like that it's not every single scene. There's a part where the crew goes to find basically Rocket's like history and DNA cube.
Yeah,
And it, to do that, they go to the flesh planet of Fleshagon. Ugh, Fleshy
it's so
six
gross.
Or whatever.
Or it's Oregon. Oregon. Yeah, it's Oregon. It's a play on Oregon.
They go to Oregon and
Oregon Trail.
Yeah, and
then they do the Among Us joke, which I thought the whole time like one of them's gonna be a traitor because that's why would they go through the trouble of doing a fucking Among Us joke?
Wait, was that an Among Us joke?
Absolutely. It's not coincidental that they have multicolored suits that just
you're right. For whatever reason, I think I was still thinking of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 when Star-Lord's like super like his ultra attack was he turned into Pac-Man.
Yeah.
And I equated the multicolored suits to be like the Pac-Man ghosts because I thought it was going to
be right.
Although it very, very well could be Among Us meme because, you know, reference.
Topical.
Right.
I was just mad they got the colors wrong. I was so annoyed that Gamora wasn't in the green suit. there's just so many different ones that I was like, no, this is the wrong color. Get it right.
You feel like...
Quill was orange or yellow.
I forget who was in which ones. I feel like...
He was yellow.
Yeah.
I think that fits for Star-Lord.
Because I think...
I'm okay with that one.
I like that because in that scene when they're going to Oregon...
Mm-hmm.
They leave Groot in the ship to pilot the ship,
yeah.
Which seems like a weird choice. Like, because when you think of like your roles within the group, you don't think of Groot as being the pilot navigator. Although, kind of all of them are
well,
the pilot.
He's effectively
needed.
The Chewie.
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah, but that let the action that happened in Oregon be. Without, like, the plant guy that can kind of just make as many weapons as he wants at will.
And Groot is also the one that, like, he can't really fake being the kind of person that he needs to be in
I don't know. There's a carrot guy in Oregon.
That's yeah, fair. But he's not plant. He's just happens to look... He's a dark souls character creator.
sure. There's also the fact that we find out that Groot can't actually just say whatever he wants.
Is not what happened.
He said, I love you guys.
Do you think the idea is that...
Because no one else was surprised by it. Someone would have raised an eyebrow.
I was annoyed that they didn't. Because again, that was an emotional moment where I was waiting for the funny shoe to drop.
I think...
And I wanted Groot to be like, I love you guys. And then Nebula to turn and be like, what the fuck?
That would have worked. Something. So what you're thinking is that the idea is that we now can understand
Groot. Because we are part of family now.
Okay. I do like that. That's a good interpretation.
Again, someone would have said something. Yeah. Even if it was a double-layered joke. So yeah. At least one of them would have looked at him. At least Gamora would have been like,
yeah.
I knew it.
That would have been fun and interesting. If you do that, give us a shot of Groot's face where you can clearly see him mouthing, I am Groot, but you're hearing a misdub.
I was
hoping... To make it something where it's like, oh, the audience can understand Groot now. Sure, or whatever.
What I would really like is if when this comes to... streaming or DVD or whatever, if you put on subtitles, you can see what he's actually saying whenever he's saying,
great.
I am Groot.
Yeah.
But then this time when he says, I love you, in the parentheses, it says, I am Groot.
That'd be great. That would be good. Yeah.
But I guarantee you that's what they did.
Yeah. No, I like that interpretation of it. I think that's solid.
What did you think of Rocket's animal buddies? Because they were meant to be endearing, and certain scenes with them were endearing, specifically with the otter. But generally speaking, I found them gross and disgusting and off-putting, and I didn't like
I didn't have that problem at all. My only beef was that they knew what they were doing, and they took it one step too far by having...
It was a little too cheesy?
Well, because one of them's catchphrase is, it's good to have friends. That's just a fucking Family Guy joke. I love being alive. I love being alive.
Yeah. No, I do agree with... I agree with what you're both saying. I think that the grotesqueness of them really worked for it because it's so different from... it's almost...
I hate that rabbit. I hate Floor.
I know.
Floor
rabbit. I agree. Floor is a dumb character, and it's...
No, it's a gross
hideous.
Character.
No, she's hideous. She is absolutely terrifying.
What I want to know is what was the purpose of their... Well, I'm assuming that, order-wise, who was making what order? It was Walrus, Floor, and then...
Lila,
yeah.
What about Tiefs?
Tief is Walrus.
Oh, sorry. You didn't refer to him by his proper name.
That's right. I should have used his number because I don't think he's a person. it's weird that he didn't get I appreciate that whatever level of experimenting on he was at that point, it was just for more the consciousness more than anything because the walrus just has wheels when he could have anything else.
I don't know where in his process... A walrus with wheels and no eyelids is the utopian being.
Because at that point, he's not trying to make the utopian being. He's just throwing shit on the wall and seeing what happens.
Yeah, he's just doing shit to see what can be done, and then you can put all the pieces together.
Would all these animals be better if they had spider legs? No, this rabbit is not better with spider legs. Back to the next one.
Right.
Let's try a humanoid. All right, I see what the furries were thinking. We'll go with humanoid animals.
What if instead of removing limbs, just extended their limbs?
What about if otters had perfectly good little hands with thumbs? We rip those off and give them robot hands.
God, those hands. Those hands are so fucking creepy.
No, the otter is the least
it
bad
is.
Of
yes.
them. Of
intentionally,
the
because that's the one you're supposed to the most gel with and to feel
and
the
And she's the one that's got
of.
A little romantic friendship with Rocket kind
yeah,
of.
I couldn't tell if it but I guess it could be motherly slash romantic.
It could be either one, yeah.
Like you can raise someone and then fall in love with
them. Oedipus relationship with Rocket?
No, because animals grow up and a chicken will become an adult chicken in a month.
Yeah, but chickens aren't sentient.
These animals were not meant to be sentient. A terrifying monster doctor made them, forcibly forced them to gain sentience.
So you're saying that he made Rocket Raccoon intelligent enough to know that the filter level on the bath salts was messing
not
up his experiments.
Right.
Experiments, but he did not remove the animal desire to screw his mom.
I think he poked around in there some to see what would happen.
Yeah.
And then whatever happened is what happened.
I wonder what happens if I put a raccoon brain through a Vitamix.
I do want to know how is what he did to Rocket worse than what Thanos did to Nebula? Because Nebula was spread apart and hung up on hooks to feel
stuff. I think
stuff.
It's because...
And she was conscious during that.
I think
I
it's because Thanos did it specifically as torture. And
there was a reason for it in his brain of I'm doing this to you.
The high evolutionary was I'm trying to make you a better person. And he had his incredibly selfish horrendous, fucked up, like, viewpoint that informed that, but within his own mind, he was still trying to create a better being, as opposed to Thanos, who was just like, I'm mad at you, and I'm taking out my abusive dad rage on you by replacing your limbs bit by bit.
I think that we just didn't get enough about Nebula and Thanos' situation, because it was really, we got a lot of, I feel like, about Gamora and Thanos, yeah. And like, I feel like I really understood what was going on there. I never really feel like I got it between Nebula and Thanos.
I'll say I was surprised by Nebula in this movie too, because for someone who's who does most of their delivery as growls, just because that's the character. Mm-hmm. I was impressed by like the performance range that we got from Karen Gillan, and I liked Nebula a lot more than I thought I would, because in the previous movies, it's kind of just been like it's kind of funny that she's grumpy, and that's the gist of it, and that's about as far as it goes.
They really know how to write around their actors and like what their character should be. Otherwise, I would see the Drax guy in any other movie and just not be funny at all, because they don't know how to write a guy who his acting career is from fucking kayfabe.
Sure. I agree with you. I do wish... I feel like it was a little too quick of the turn that she's just 100% on the team in this one. It's really weird to me that she's sort of in the Gamora role and Gamora is in the Nebula role. Like, the Nebula side, the Gamora side of that, where she is still like outside the family, makes sense with everything that's gone on. I never really feel like I got the moment where Nebula joined in with the Guardians. I feel like I understood when she became more sisters with Gamora.
I feel like we got it from Endgame.
I may just not be remembering Endgame, because it's been a while.
Yes. But I also think they balance that by still having her be like a massive prick to everyone on the team. Like, it's balanced where it's like, it's clear that they all have like a fondness for each other, and that includes Nebula. Like, the rest of the crew cares about Nebula.
And the way
Nebula.
They fight, that's the is part the way siblings but, would fight. Like, yeah.
But
really
it,
like
but
that.
It doesn't. It doesn't feel like Gamora, where like Gamora became one of the nice guys. Like a rough on the edges nice guy. But
I'm fine with that. The her being rough on the edges side of that. Like, her character and what she's doing is fun. I just never feel like, I feel like I missed a step somewhere in there of like, okay, she's hanging out with these people, to oh, she's actually on the team with these people.
Sure, as far as not seeing it on film.
Yeah.
But it's implied enough through things where they're talking about stuff that's happened in the past, where it's like, okay, and their interactions feel real enough that I'm like, sure. Like, from the last movie till now, you've built a society on this dead floating skull. And so I'm sure that in the process of that, like...
Which is just such a Guardians thing of like, there's just a skull out in the middle of nowhere that they just hang out in, and that's their chill spot.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just such a weird idea, and I love it. Like, it's hilarious.
But because, there's almost an implied history because of the progress that's been made there.
There definitely
is. So it doesn't feel weird to me. I like the little tidbits that are just thrown in kind of casually that hint at there having been the history there. Like, when she talks about upgrades to her having been done by, like, Rocket has given her upgrades to her arms and stuff or whatever.
They feel like an adventuring party that has had a lot of D&D sessions under their belt.
What happened?
And it feels like she fits in with this group now.
The thing I will compare it to is this. They reference the fact that Mantis is Quill's sister several times in this movie. I had 1,000% forgotten that.
It
and
took
I was like,
me a long time.
I was sitting there like,
she's another half-sister. She's another ego,
exactly,
baby.
Yes, but I did not remember that even slightly.
Sure.
And so I was just like, what the fuck are they talking about your sister and brother? Like, what?
Mm-hmm. Have they introduced Cosmo already?
No.
I thought they did a teaser of it.
He might have
in
like
one of them.
She might have shown up in like one of the like comic or not comics
post
one of
credits
the,
or something.
Post credits.
That's what I was thinking. Like, it was like a Howard the Duck kind of thing.
It was either like maybe either that or like one of the like TV shows that nobody watches at this point.
Because the whole time I'm like, is this something? Should I remember when they got Dog Friend? Because I really like Dog Friend.
Dog Friend is great. I really want more of
it. It's okay.
Those.
It's a cute dog. And for my wife, I'll say, Cosmo is the best part of the movie. Quote,
I mean,
unquote.
For a bad dog, sure.
Yeah. Exactly.
Even he wasn't telling the truth when he said that.
She's fine. I like the extent of her inclusion in the movie.
Yeah, I feel like she's there so that they can either do a Guardians of the Galaxy movie where Rocket's the leader and like she's on the team, or they're going to do like some bullshit nowhere TV show where it's like, hey, we're doing, it's Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's on TV, so it's not very good.
Sure, they've done a TV show that's okay.
Loki was all right, but it still wasn't like
I haven't watched any of the Disney Plus Marvel stuff. Like, I didn't watch the multiverse split. I didn't watch WandaVision. There's just a lot of them that I
was. Luke Cage, was that?
That was kind of prior.
That was an old one. That was
that was a Netflix one.
Yeah. Okay.
I want those to be good, but every time I start them, I'm like, I don't want to watch more of this.
I feel you.
And I don't know whether that's the merits of those shows themselves or just the like Marvel burnout.
No, it's the merits of those shows.
Is it? Because I've got Marvel burnout in general.
I do not. Like, I really love Marvel in general. Like, I'll still like go back and like read comics that are Marvel.
You
mean
as well.
You have Marvel cinematic
burnout. I have Marvel cinematic universe burnout.
And I think that's because they put about a lot of mediocre shit lately.
Yes.
I don't think that we are tired of MCU fun stuff. I think we are tired of the mediocre shit they've been giving us.
And also they've just put out a lot of the same stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? Where initially it was fun because I enjoy these comic characters and I like seeing these comic characters in movies. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Yeah.
But eventually it's like, okay, the novelty of having like comic characters in movies are now just like
the standard.
Major part of movie culture now. That's not something new. That's not something weird. You're going to give me a bunch of movies about characters I like and a bunch of movies about characters I've never heard of, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you're going to start doing that, like, your movies have to start getting better because, like, me going to see it just because it was Spider-Man doesn't cut it anymore.
They've gotten away from what made the original MCU work, like, when it first came out, which was telling stories about these characters that made you want to see more of that character. It wasn't about seeing Thor. It was about seeing Chris Hemsworth Thor, who was just really charming. It wasn't about seeing Iron Man. It was about Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark was fucking incredible, and I wanted to see more of that guy. Again, same thing
you
with
Cap. You weren't coming there for them to, like, I can't wait for them to fill out the mythos of Thor.
Exactly.
When are they going to show when Thor was in a wheelchair and some completely different dude from Earth.
I mean, I wish they'd done that.
You know,
but anyway,
give us Frog Thor.
I want Frog Thor.
I want Frog Thor as an animated movie.
Yes, absolutely. Like a 15-minute short about
like a
Frog
cute
Thor.
Little Frog.
Did
Thor
Did he not
movie,
show up in? Sure, I figure like if they did Crocodile Loki, they had to do fucking.
I mean, they basically focused on
this
the,
summer.
On the
Neil Lokis. Patrick Harris is Beta Ray Bill.
You just killed it for me.
I
now have MCU burnout because of that statement.
You're welcome.
Did they have Chris Griffin voice Howard the Duck?
Maybe. I don't know who Chris Griffin is.
Seth
from
Green.
Family Guy.
Oh, I thought it was an actor.
Yeah, I know. That sounds like a real person.
It does.
Name.
Yeah.
When he spoke, I'm like,
I could see that character. Yeah, that would work.
Because Howard, I don't know if I've listened to Howard the Duck before, but I think I'm thinking of whenever that old duck show used to come on, who had the really hot duck wife, but for some reason he's like tiny and
no,
like
I
a stick
figure. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Something Duckworth, something maybe.
That sounds about Duckworth.
I don't know. I know what you're talking
Seth,
about.
I wasn't able to find it for three, but Seth Green did do Howard the Duck in two,
I was about to say like,
yeah.
Why would they do that voice?
I can't decide if I want to know like who I can't decide if I want them to do actual material about Howard the Duck or if
no,
I just want
him
to always stay very much in the background and just be like, oh hey, look, it's Howard.
Yeah, I want him to just be a sentient duck who's just like, I happen to exist in space and hang out with the boys.
I feel like you could tell a really funny story about that, but it would have to not be a typical Marvel movie.
Like that's why I'm afraid. It's like a really low percent chance of success. So just they have a much bigger chance of playing it safe ball right
now. Yeah, that's very fair.
What do you guys think of the Guardians splitting at the end of the movie?
I think...
And specifically about the direction that the different characters go.
I think
I'm
it
down
feels,
with that part.
I think it feels very inorganic to this movie. It doesn't feel
that,
like it...
That sure. is also my beef.
And if it did feel organic to this movie, I think it would work a lot better. But it's very clear that this is extremely meta, and it is actually James Gunn saying goodbye to these characters and these actors saying goodbye to these characters. And it's
for the
not,
most part.
Yeah.
They're all in there.
Chris Pratt will return
Star-Lord will return.
Interesting. Okay.
But what I'll say is it feels like this crew is saying goodbye to each other. They know that they might probably not work together on this project again.
Sure.
And so I think that's what it is. And it feels out of place
into
this movie.
That's the meta scenario where it's like, hey, the real world actors on the film set are saying goodbye, but what do you think of the characters saying goodbye?
They've been working on these movies for 20 years, and they don't want to be on the sinking ship part of it anymore. I get
it. That's fair, yeah. I think it, for the most part, kind of works. I feel it when they are in that room together saying goodbye to each other. When Gamora leaves, it felt weird for a variety of reasons, mainly it not being the character that was there, you know, before when she was a part of the group. Yeah. And two, there's that moment of where, like, they kind of are like, yeah, we were fun together, and she seems like she's kind of thinking about it, so, like, maybe in the future they'll try to get, like, whatever actors play these characters together. Like, I could see, like, if they remix these, you know, have different actors playing them, maybe that's what they're trying to lean towards. But it just... it feels so inorganic that it just doesn't work. And I feel like if they had played less hard on it and just been like, hey, we're going to go do our own thing, and that's okay. We'll come back maybe one day and be family still, and that's fine. Like, that would work better for me than this. Like,
those are the kind of the two things that are missing is they're not... And I understand why they don't say, hey, you know, I'll be gone for a year, and then I'll be back to hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
Because that inadvertently tells the audience that, hey, these same people are coming back, and they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And so they have to leave it open-ended. But it feels weird for these people who are friends to just say goodbye without being like, hey, I'll get lunch with you once a month.
Exactly.
Because, you know, like, I'm sure they fucking can.
Yeah. Travel is not a big deal.
They have wormhole travel. Yeah. Or like hexagonal wormhole travel, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
The second thing that's weird about it is it doesn't feel like it's led up to throughout the movie.
That was my, like, I could, in my mind, see the journey for Quill of, like, after him being told, like, he needs to learn how to swim rather than hopping from lily pad to lily pad. Like, I gig it for this, and then, like, teasing with a picture, but then, like, having the rest of the, like, pseudo D&D party be like, well, I've got a new job, so I'm not going to be able to make it. Can you write a backstory reason why I'm not going to be here?
Like, and I almost wish that the movie had opened with Quill going to reconnect with his family first, and then finding out that there's issues with Rocket. And so he's just started reconnecting with the family that he's missed.
Right.
And who have dearly missed him.
Yeah.
And now he's got to go save someone that he considers his best friend.
Yeah.
And
second best friend.
That was really weird. Like, I've never gotten the impression that they were best friends.
I did, because they butted heads enough to be like I wouldn't say Goku Vegeta, but just like, they had the most, like, at each other's throats. Yeah, so it felt like they...
I guess. I think the problem is that I had already put, like, Rocket and Groot in best friend category, and so it felt very strange for them to,
Well, they felt like initial family to me, where they're, like, they're already the Guardians of the Galaxy in a way.
Yeah.
And now they are the only ones left.
Yeah.
But it feels like there's no through line through the movie of him getting ready to... Because them going on their separate ways starts with Star-Lord.
Yeah.
And there's others who, like, you know, Drax is going to, you know, he's going to go be a dad to the 1,000 children that are now on the Skull
City, which was very cute. Yeah.
Which is cute. Mantis is going to go out and do her own thing, which
I don't give a shit about.
I like Mantis.
I like Mantis, but I only like Mantis in the context of these other characters. I don't like Mantis on her own.
I think they dig a lot better with her, like, establishing her, like, what she brings to the party in this one, and that, like, she's kind of she's the glue of the family in the sense of, like, she's the only one not trying to fight everyone.
I could see that. Yeah. They did a better job of establishing it this time. Yeah.
But there was no lead up to them being like, okay, we're going to need time to jet off and do our own thing.
I think that they saw their way out.
Yeah.
In character. They're like, well, now is as good a time as any to be like.
Yeah.
But I wish that there'd been... I feel like you could have had reason throughout it where, like, hey... Or even make it where, you know, they've already started to go their own directions, but, like, this is pulling the crew back together for one last job to save Rocket.
That would be the way to do it, I think. Yeah.
And it feels weird because that, again, is another one of those very sentimental scenes or very emotional scenes where I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, especially when we've got the Groot where he's like, I love you guys.
Yeah.
And that's so different from the rest of the movie. And they've made a point throughout the movie of, like, a running joke is he only says, I am Groot.
Right.
And the people around him either understand it or are weirded out that other people understand it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's like multiple running jokes leading up to this emotional scene and then just going nowhere, and it just stays emotional and it feels weird. And it's weird that this is how it ends and they go their separate ways.
To be fair, though, emotions feel weird, so I'm okay with it.
Emotions do feel weird.
They don't have to in movies, though.
They do with your family.
They don't have family. To be movies, though.
If your family doesn't make you feel weird emotions, you're doing it wrong.
The movie was fun, and I think my favorite part of it was seeing the way that the crew interacted together to solve the issues. Like, I really liked...
Yeah.
I really liked the scenes where we got Nebula, Mantis, and Drax together. Like, just the way they interact and work off of each other, especially with some of the characters like Nebula and Mantis, who in previous movies had just kind of been background, or they didn't really feel like they fit in as much.
Yeah.
And granted, like, Mantis just got here in the last Guardians movie, but but still, like, it felt like the crew meshed a whole lot better together. And, you know, we were talking about the D&D movie that just came out, and one of our gripes was, although there were a lot of fun scenes and they told us stuff that, like, oh, look, they're a fun party.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of stuff in their interactions that made it feel like they weren't as connected as a group and as a party and as a family. And in this movie, the Guardians group feels like that, just very connected. It feels like they've got, like, running jokes that the audience wouldn't be a part of.
Yes.
Even though there's nothing like that in the movie. Like, there's no weird lines that aren't explained or anything like that. But it feels like the way these people interact, they would have that.
And I think the crew behind the scenes has those jokes.
And that's my favorite part of the movie. My least favorite part of the movie is what I've been talking about already, with the waiting for the funny shoe to drop and the emotional scenes. And specifically, they just should have shot the High Evolutionary. Like, there's no reason for them to, like... Like, the Guardians don't have to take the high road, man.
No, they don't. Like, not those
they
characters.
They just shoot him and call it a day, and it's like, good riddance.
Yeah.
So those are my least favorite parts. Overall, it was a fun movie, and I'll give it, like, it was a lot of fun. I don't know if it's like a four fun. It's like a 3.75 for me. It's between a 3.5 and a four. So I'll give it...
You gotta pick one of those, though. That's how we do it.
Yeah, I'll give it 3.5 bad dogs out of 5.
Monster.
Just really bad, like, not good dogs at all. Like, bad dogs.
But you don't really mean that, though, right?
Should probably be kicked.
No, no. You're a monster.
I'm just paying it forward to get the angry text from my wife when she listens.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I cannot... I hope you send me pictures of that, because it'd be hilarious. Anyway, I agree with pretty much everything you've said, at least directionally. I'm not that weirded out by the fact that Rocket didn't kill him. I think I got what they were going for, even though I think you're right that, like,
I'm not weirded out. It just feels cliche and dumb and not the tone of
it's
the rest of the movie.
It's hyper irresponsible.
I think my favorite part of this movie is getting so much of Rocket, because it's sad that he's separated from the crew for most of the movie,
but
they do such a good job of contextualizing him as a character and everything that he's been through, and, like, who he was at the beginning of all this and what he's found with these people. Like, all of that really works together and honestly makes me want to see more of Rocket. Like, I do want more of him. I don't necessarily need, like, a TV series, but, like, I wouldn't mind seeing more Rocket in more movies.
I am disappointed that we don't get to see him interact with the rest of the group as much, because he is one of the characters that, like,
all
of the other characters have funny interactions bouncing off of Rocket.
Exactly. But that said, like, it really does, of all the characters you could put in this situation, I think Rocket is the one that I'm most like, oh no, like, I want Rocket to be okay.
Yes. Plus he's an animal.
Yeah. I mean, that does help. So
you're not going to have that same, like, emotion for, like, a stick.
No, well,
this
Groot is effectively a space animal, so I would also feel sad.
He was a space baby, so, like, when he was baby Groot, I would have felt this way. But maybe it's just that he's tiny. Maybe that's what
I do like when he got his head ripped off and was just like, eh?
Yeah, just crawling around like, this sucks.
Yeah, I guess he just has to be burnt down to a seed for it to take a long time for him to get a new body, because in this one, he fucking gets a body quick.
It might be that, like, maybe he just, like, can regenerate if he's got the young
core,
so he can do it quicker, you know,
He just goes sits in like mud, like water and soil, and like soaks it up and grows.
They stick some toothpicks in the side of him and put him in the top of a jar of water and let it just grow out underneath him and get back to tank.
That's right.
It's hard for me to pick a favorite thing in this movie, not because there aren't a lot of good things in it, but there's not a good thing that really, to me, stands
out above. One really good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of thing.
Sure.
I would probably give it to the High Evolutionary if you kind of hadn't already. I think the thing that I'm going to point to is just the interactions of the characters.
I didn't give it to the High Evolutionary. I gave it to the interactions of the characters.
I don't remember that. You said that.
Yeah,
maybe.
I'm just going to edit that out.
Let's see if you can edit out my foot in your ass.
But no, yeah, I'll go with the high evolutionary then. he does really stand out as a villain that the MCU, this is what kind of villain the MCU needs in most of its movies. Because one of the big gripes I've had with the series from the very beginning was that so many of their villains didn't stand out because they were just kind of blandly evil versions of the main character.
Yeah. Oh, and I love so much that this guy is just like, I'm the eugenics man and I like eugenics. And it's not like I have like a secretly noble reason for the evil things that I'm doing, and it makes me a conflicted gray character.
I mean, he has what he thinks is a noble reason. He's just
a monster. Noble
but that's
reason
a good
is,
villain.
I don't like the way things are. I prefer eugenics.
There, yeah. Like, he just is such a full-on sails-to-the-wind monster the entire time, except when we need him to be a little bit sympathetic to Rocket so that we have a little hope spot for the little animal, and then it just turns around and makes everything even that much worse because we had that moment. Like, all of it works very well together.
He gives good, like, Eye of the Storm moments.
Yes, yes, yeah. Little bits of calm before things get real fucked up.
I was sure when they had their final fight in the evolutionary room, like, either he or Rocket was going to get evolutionized.
Right.
And, like, this is my true form, a full raccoon.
Evolve into Badger.
No. But yeah, so I'm gonna give this movie 4 out of 5 weird emotions.
Finally a furry.
This movie made me feel things.
Oh yeah, that turtle, man. Oh.
When Bat Lady invited them into her home, he was like, I don't know how I feel about this. Oh, something stirring.
I want whatever they were drinking in there. Oh, that is delightful.
Blue Fanta or whatever it was.
I think that had you really nailed the like goodbye scene at the end in a way that felt organic to the rest of it, it would have been a 5 out of 5. But it wasn't, and it felt weird, and even though it didn't like bring the movie really down, it didn't add to the movie for me. So that's where I'm sticking with the 4 out of 5. Brian?
We should have watched the other Guardians before this so I could remember stuff. Is there a canonical reason as to why Quinn's not using his helmet and jet boots anymore?
No, not really. I think they just don't want to do it.
Because fucking, like, that bullshit scene where he's falling through space and freezing again like, don't you have a thing for that?
Right.
Doesn't she have a jetpack? Doesn't he have really long arms?
I mean, they did at least give Groot a reason he couldn't reach out and grab
Isn't
him.
The psychic dog like fucking, I guess
she's
tired.
She just ran out of juice because she's a bad dog.
That's right. A good dog would have saved him.
Does no one in the space meeting place in the, like, Rock in the big head have a ship that could be,
you can't like slow whistle the arrow to like push him forward a little bit.
It was really weird to me that they were like, so when he reaches out to like, you know, get
the,
his hand,
the god finger thing.
Yeah, they do the god finger, like the famous painting finger.
Especially after he like inflates, like, oh, he's actually dead. That's what I thought was the reason they had him inflate.
It was
like
such a weird, just a very strange
decision. Inflation scene's another one that really, like, real conflicted emotions about this.
Well, normally people
what's this inflation?
Very rarely
do I have a boner?
Do
oh god!
Inflation of the face. It's always inflation boggy, still cute face.
Yeah. Maybe Star-Lord forgot, because I think first movie he's got like rocket boots and a helmet. Second movie he becomes a celestial for a while and just like doesn't need that shit anymore.
Maybe, yeah.
And he gave up his celestial powers when he killed Ego. But maybe he just forgot that he needed to start wearing a helmet again in the preceding many, many years.
I kind of wish that they had...
Also,
like,
never mind, because I think he wore a helmet in, like, Endgame, so...
I really wish that he had just kind of, like, kept some of those powers, but they were, like, not really well controlled.
I was assuming that's what was going to happen when he was, like, stuck in space. Like, oh, he's going to regenerate because he's still, like, 1% eternal, so he's got that good life juice.
He did unswell his face pretty fast.
Well, because medkits.
Right.
They didn't put a medkit on the head.
They didn't show it, but his head was not inflating after that.
No. His head was deflated by the time the hug was over.
No, because he still had, like, the eyeball.
It was deflating.
He was much better,
but not good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why? Did they write another movie with Adam Warlock?
These are all the things you say before we get to final thoughts.
I didn't have a chance. Like, it's just, there's so much stuff, like... Adam Warlock is the guy in the D&D group who can show up once every 5 times and you have to find a reason as to why he's like hyper flying there.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm in your ship again. Oh, I sorry guys. My kids need to go to sleep. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
It's weird that they did the Godfinger scene with him. Like, he's going to be the new Quill character.
Yeah.
And then
I don't know what they're trying to say with that.
Yeah, it's just it seemed like he had.
Maybe they were just trying to say that, like, the, you know, high evolutionary thought he was God, but we got all these situations that just proved him wrong, and then, like, this is one more thing that the high evolutionary failed at in, like, trying to create this guy, but also it's, I don't know. I think
you're reading into it. I think it was just funny.
I don't know if it's not that funny, though.
Yeah, I feel like they had storyboarded.
You can't knock every joke out of the park.
They had storyboarded that scene, and they thought it was cool. They're like, yeah, let's just still keep it.
It may have just been like, fuck it, this will be funny.
Yeah. Is there anything I'll regret not talking about?
You already mentioned that you dislike the music.
Well, no, it's good music. It's just, it's not meaningful anymore. It's
right.
Super oversaturating. Like in, was it 2 that they had the big forest fight where Rocket was like making people get trapped and like gravity upping?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that was, that and the starting song of that one were the good songs of that, but there were like fucking 9 other songs, mm-hmm. and it's yeah. the same as this one. Like, it's a great playlist. It's yeah. just, it doesn't mean anything anymore when it's like, oh, now they're playing a song. Every time they like warp travel, they play a song, and it's a good right. song.
It's sort of just, like how like all the dumb jokes they made about Thor don't work in the context of post-Ragnarok. We've already done this thing where we like, yeah. undercut all these moments.
Yes.
Yeah. We've already got banger songs that are just banger songs to be there.
Which I'm assuming, like, when we saw at the end when he finally got, like Quill gave him the 2000s playlist yeah. as, like, a buy gift. Like, maybe this, like, maybe the 90s of songs, like, just didn't work as good for this. But there's fucking, like, they start with Teen Spirit, and that's a good note to fucking start on. Or not Teen Spirit.
No, they're just going to wait 10 years to do Rocket's thing so that they can be 30 years old when they do.
Creep. They start with Creep.
Creep, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just cannot gig over that weird kid being having a hot body now.
Yeah.
I hope this is an example of movies to come and not an outlier for what sure. we've been
I hope
seeing.
This isn't the last good MCU movie.
Yeah. Well, I know it won't be the last one, because I'm sure that, like, after another 10 years when people have had a break,
oh, okay.
they're
yeah,
willing
yeah.
to come back and make a good one again.
Sure, sure, sure.
I just don't want everything in between then to just be more fucking The Marvels or
I was going to say, well, I can't yeah. wait to do The Marvels podcast.
I mean, I appreciate that they know their crowd now.
Mm, yeah.
I'm not going to, I guess I'm going to see if we're going to see
we're
it.
We're probably
going to
go see it, yeah.
I'm not going to willingly go see it.
Tell us your favorite and least goddamn favorite thing.
Favorite thing. The weird fucking show up of Yondu.
Okay.
I was not, like, I laughed, but I'm sure that was supposed to be a meaningful thing, but just like, use your soul, boy. Or what? And it's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, did he have, I know, I'm sure he was also like, second favorite
yeah,
son.
He was
in the
second
yeah.
command, so like, they hung out a lot, but like, it did feel very weird that he got the moment and not like Peter Quill. Like,
it was also weird that the whistle guy, like, if he's not that good at controlling it, just use it as a gun and, you know, like, whistle really good straight and point the wand at him.
Yeah, yeah. Figure it out as you go.
Least favorite thing. Adam Warlock feeling underutilized.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
I mean, what move did they introduce him at the end of 1 or 2?
I think at the end of 1. No, maybe it was 2. I don't remember, to be
either
honest.
Either way, it's 2. Been like a decade, okay. and there's been time to like figure out how to put him in the movie. Which it's really making me think like they weren't planning on this being the farewell to so many characters, so they had to write like they wanted the characters that were leaving to have like their moments together.
I'm guessing at the time, because that was pre-Infinity War, and originally Adam Warlock has a huge deal to do in like
yes.
Thanos' original thing, so they probably wanted to like have an opening to like include Adam Warlock in that if they wanted to, but they just like it's not really how it worked out, and it just didn't ever quite gel. And so this is where they were like, hey, let's put him here.
Mm-hmm. This is what I want from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They deliver, and it's not perfect, but it's still a solid-ass movie. So 4 out of 5. Really fucked up uses of animals to pull my heartstrings. And he covered himself in like baby raccoons at the end, way a raccoon or a possum does to carry babies mm-hmm. around. But then he looks at all the other animals like, I can't do this.
Yeah,
I have to get all animals.
I was thinking about that, like, as he was gathering all the little raccoons to himself, like, how are you going to get that pig out of here?
The animal choices the high evolutionary was working with mm-hmm. were weird as well.
Yeah.
Because, like, There's a penguin in that mix.
Yep. Oh, an emperor penguin. Like, it was as tall as Quill was.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, it's a very funny image to see Drax jumping, like, through the space barrier to get back to like, their home skull planet.
Yes.
With a taper on his back. Yeah. It's like such a weird animal to be included.
One of them throws a spider monkey at one of the regular people, and just immediately it tears off that lady's face, like, are we not going to talk about how that thing started tearing off? And like, yeah, when those giant bagger-eating things.
Yeah,
they,
yeah.
Like, also, none of them crushed any
exactly,
of the animals
somehow.
Exactly, I was
wondering about that too.
Also, did the High Evolutionary just like not stock health packs on his ship when Rocket was tearing
like,
his face
how
off?
How is he so smart and can fix anything, but like, the way he wants to fix his face is to put a face over it.
He's got like the Handsome Jack mask over his face.
He just never thought he'd need to, and so he just was like, no, fuck it.
I don't think that works for this specific character.
He's sitting
character
under there looking like Red Skull underneath that mask.
Yeah. Red Skull looks at him and goes, oh man, I don't have it so bad.
Yeah, at least I'm symmetrical.
If you want to hear more of us being symmetrical, you can find more of our podcasts on our website, opinionatedpodcast.com. Additionally, we're on social media at OpinionCast on Twitter and Opinionated Podcast on Facebook. Feel free to reach out to us at our email address, opinionatedmoviereviews@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you guys, whether it's your thoughts on our episodes or suggestions for what we should watch in the future. If you get a chance, please leave us a rating and follow us on Spotify. Between that and you sharing us with your friends, it's the best way we have of getting out to new listeners. We always appreciate you guys listening. And until next time,
we're opinionated.
Thanks for listening.